It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
Well, I know one guy that's grinding this thing right now for this Miami Dolphins season already. Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked On Dolphins podcast, joins us. Kyle, good morning, brother. How you doing?
Joe, how we doing?
We're doing good, man. We had a hell of a day yesterday. Went out there for the celebration and the rain and the lightning and thunder, and it was great. Wouldn't change it. Would have done it again. It was fantastic.
Felt very quintessential South Florida to get the dumping of the rain there, and then it cleared up. It seemed like a great time.
Yes. And by the way, it wouldn't have mattered because those guys, they act like there was no lightning or thunder going on, man. They were going at it. There was like nobody's going to touch this day for sure. Hey, Kyle, man, we got a lot of stuff to get to here. So just looking at this Finns roster, looks like it's pretty well set. I don't know if they'll add anything else or not, but it looks like to start with this rookie class, full rookie class, and a late couple of veterans coming in. How does this Dolphins roster for you, and again, I know it's just on paper right now and everybody is getting the benefit of the doubt that they're going to be healthy. How's it match up with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Bills and the Texans and the Ravens for you?
You know, it's a really interesting question because I think you can look across the AFC landscape with the exception of probably Kansas City. Buffalo took a step back. They lost some talent. They were kind of in the same boat as Miami was, and retrospectively, even more handcuffed than the Dolphins were this offseason. You look at Baltimore, and they lost three out of their five starters on the offensive line. They lost a number of key pieces on the defense with Patrick Queen and Jadeveon Clowney and Geno Stone. Like, they lost some pieces. So I think that's the thing for Miami is when you look at and acknowledge, okay, you lost two of your better trench players on either side of the ball, and Christian Wilkins and Robert Hunt. And
right.
They find Calais Campbell for an incredible value to come in, and I think he can provide comparable play in some phases in a different scheme, and he's familiar with playing in this scheme. I think the Dolphins did about as well as you could have hoped for building a roster that should be competitive, but it's also deeper than last year's team at the expense of a few of those top guys. And when you saw this team and it's run out of gas down the stretch the past couple of years, you hope that this transition, this kind of income redistribution is enough, because there's other teams that you just mentioned that I think they have a little bit more unknown than what the Dolphins do just based on some of the guys that are going to be playing key roles for this year.
They had a special the other night on the Buffalo Bills and talked about they lost their 1 and 2 wide receivers. Everybody knows that. I just don't see it with that group. I'm not. It's like they're good. Don't get me wrong. And you got a rookie that you don't know how long before he's going to be able to pick things up. But they're putting a lot of pressure on Josh Allen to be really special and have a little more Mahomes in him this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of pressure on Dalton Kincaid, their first round tight end from 2023, to be probably like a 100-plus target kind of guy. And I certainly think he has that ability, but it's the proof of concept of the whole pass-catching group for them is kind of the mystery, and I'm sure they'll be fine. And I think the other thing for Buffalo is they were the inverse of the Dolphins on the offensive line last year. They didn't have a starter miss a game. They had five guys play over 1,000 snaps. Could you imagine the Dolphins living in that world?
No, gosh.
So if law of averages catches up to them, and you're not going to bank anything for the season on law of averages, but they were very fortunate with the offensive line, and it showed down the stretch with how they were able to get the running game going when they made their run to the postseason. And that's something that, you know, from a year-to-year basis, how reliable is that? So I think it's fair to have some questions. I also think it's fair to say, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And they've been the man. And that's the big test for the Dolphins, I think, this year.
Kyle, you know what I'm most worried about with this? I'm not worried because they have a really good coach at this position that's did great work a year ago, but the O-line inside, center and the two guards. One side, guard really good, but he gets injured every year a lot going back to New England. I'm talking about Isaiah Wynn, but he's really good when he plays. Center, I just think you take a step back from the guy you lost that I don't think's coming back with the Miami Dolphins. And right guard, can you get somebody as good as Robert Hunt? I don't see anybody that good on that roster. So what's your take on the center and the two guard positions?
Yeah, I think everything that you said is accurate. And, you know, with Isaiah Wing, he looked pretty good for five games, and then that was it, and that's kind of been the book on him. So how long can you count on having him? I do think Brewer is a very good fit for what the Dolphins do offensively. I think his athleticism, his range, a lot of those same things. When they signed Connor Williams, you were like, oh, he's a guard. Moving him to center is going to work. I thought Brewer played much better at center than he did at guard for Tennessee in 2022. And I see the parallels there. So I'm not saying he's going to be Connor Williams, but I think he's a good fit. Like, I feel pretty good about that fit within Miami's system. The other guard spot, you're absolutely right. You don't have a Robert Hunt player on the team. You don't have a Robert Hunt caliber player on the team. You probably don't have a player that's the tier underneath Robert Hunt. But if you're looking for silver linings between those three guys that you mentioned, all three of them missed at least half the season last year. So so it's not like you're losing a full season's worth of that player. And if you can have some more stability, at least your hope is, you know, this is a zone-oriented system where everybody's kind of got to get the front moving at the same rate of pace. So if there's more chemistry with those guys, and if you can get some more stability for play versus last year, maybe the floor gets raised a little bit because there's a little bit better understanding for the backs and the offensive linemen on how they're going to work their combos as compared to, it felt like there was a lot of communication breakdowns last year because the guy who prepped all week didn't end up playing the game all week or the whole game.
Right.
So I think if you're looking for continuity and stability, even if it's lesser talent, I think more stability can help bridge the gap a little bit, because I do agree with what you're saying. It is not as talented of a group as it was last year.
So the other one is obviously, and I'm getting tired of talking about injury and guys coming back, and Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb, but there is a chance when the Miami Dolphins play Jacksonville in that opener at Hard Rock Stadium that those two, even coming back, may not be 100%. So I think they're going to take their time on both these guys. They're so important. And December and January are the most important months for these guys, that we could be lining up with two rookies in Mohamed Kamara, Chop Robinson, and Shaq Barrett, the veteran, and those three rotating on the outside in pass rushing situations. You agree?
The other name I would invoke there is Calais Campbell, who played about two-thirds of his snaps last year as a defensive end. So I think his versatility, even at his age, will allow you.
Okay.
He played predominantly defensive end for the Falcons last year. Now, the Baltimore system he was in the 2 years prior moved him around a lot. I think that's what you will ideally see with Miami when they have the numbers they feel good about. But if they don't feel good about Barrett and two rookies, I do think Calais Campbell can play on the edge and be a part of that rotation. And, you know, it's, you know, ideally you want to keep him on a certain kind of snap count to make sure, as a guy who's at the tail end of his career, you can keep him fresh all throughout the season. But if he needs to take a heavier lift early and play some of those reps on the edge too, to help your edge performance, particularly on first and second downs when you got to set the edge against the run, I think he can still do that at a very high level.
Two guys I want to take playing time away from, not very popular, and we're just talking about one guy that was at the parade yesterday. I want to try to take some carries away from Raheem Mostert and use him at the back end, healthy, and the same with Tyreek Hill. Neither one of those comments going to be popular with the fan base. But
yeah,
I like to see less and see him 100% healthy at the end of the year.
Well, especially Raheem, right? It's been the last 2 years he had these outstanding seasons that were the best seasons of his career in consecutive seasons. And then you kind of get caught up right there at the tail end, and then you're not 100% when you're making the playoff push. And I certainly think the investment in Jalen Wright speaks to that. And I will say, some of the best offenses of the Shanahan era in San Francisco and Atlanta and the Shanahan tree featured three backs that all had 100-plus touches throughout the course of the season. And Miami hasn't necessarily had that balance yet. I think this is the opportunity for them to strike that chord with Jalen Wright added to this mix. And if that means a little less Raheem Mostert throughout the course of the season to ensure that he's the best version of himself, I think that makes everybody better. And I think Wright brings a little bit of a different element with how he can run between the tackles. And then for Tyreek, yeah, I mean, we don't need to be the first read on 45% of our routes run and get that many targets, and he could still be so explosive and finding more balance. And I think the Dolphins are maybe not telling you that's what's going to happen, but you don't go out and invest in Jonnu Smith and Odell Beckham and add another running back to say, yeah, we're going to continue to give Tyreek 100 targets in a season. You know, like their actions kind of tell you, hey, we do want to be a little bit more balanced, and I think that makes everybody better because it makes everybody more potent and everybody more dangerous because you can't just sit on one thing.
I talked to my buddy in Baltimore, and he said, Joe, you're going to love Odell Beckham. He said he only had 35 catches. I could see him in Mike's offense having 50-plus catches. The things that Mike will do with Odell, and even if he has to give a few snaps to either Tyreek Hill or Waddle on the outside. Am I stretching a little bit, or could you see Odell pick up a couple extra targets and receptions this year?
Yeah, I think there was certainly an element of you could feel last year that it was new, that the passing game was new, that he was new within the system, and he was new with Lamar. So I think having a timing-based offense certainly plays to Odell's best strengths, and it's up to him and Tua to make sure that they have the chemistry that they need to really click. But if it does, he can still go. Now, he's not the guy that he was in New York, but yeah, I think if you're talking 50, 60 receptions, I think that's certainly a very fair baseline for what I think you could expect from Odell this year.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, and just going back in different times last year, especially late in the year when everybody talks about when one of those guys is banged up on the outside, we just can't lose our offense the way we do. And I know we are so much better when Waddle's 100% in Hill, but we're playing 17 games now. They both get a lot of targets when they're healthy. We've got to have Odell be a big part of that. So this thing, you can still run your offense. More importantly, Tua has confidence in the guys he's using. But, boy, I'll tell you what, they've added more speed to potentially. Do you see big changes? I'll leave you with this one. Do you see big changes in the running back position? Running the ball in that position.
I don't necessarily think I think their identity as a wide zone-based team and as the foundation of what they do, that's such a central piece, and it is so successful, and there's a track record of history across the league of multiple years, and the more that you play in it, the better the offensive line get it as far as kind of the execution of it. So I think that's going to still be the primary pitch, but I do think Jalen Wright, playing at Tennessee, where he got a lot of light boxes based off the college spread that they were in, Miami with their wide receivers, they can facilitate a lot of space and a lot of light boxes as a result. He's just a different kind of runner. And I think he's the one that if you're going to say, hey, is there going to be a different element of how they run the ball this year? I think more inside zone with Jalen Wright against some of these lighter boxes, he's got the kind of build and then he's got the kind of explosiveness that they just didn't have that combo last year.
Yeah.
You know, and Raheem gets a lot of yards after contact, but a lot of Raheem's yards after contact are when he's hitting the edge and you lose the angle on him because he's able to accelerate and get speed and get the edge. Where I think Wright's a little bit more of a downhill yards after contact type player. If they're going to have an added element in running the ball, it's going to be in that element, I think, would be where my eyes would go first.
Yeah, I just think when they sit in those meetings, I go, Mike goes, you know, I hear everybody talking about a running game, but we are 6th in the NFL, had a 5.1 average. That's been a hell of a lot better. It's been around here for a long time, and you're right. So I'm curious. I know a lot of people talking about running the ball more and running the ball inside, and I'm with you, man. They are so good running wide and cutting back and the things that they do and the blocking schemes they have out in front. Those guys have gotten comfortable with that. Anyway, hey, man, it's great having you, Kyle. Thank you so much. Nice little teaser here a couple weeks out. Thank you.
Absolutely. I look forward to seeing you in a few weeks here when we get down to training.
You got it. Yeah, just a few, though. I got to cut back after yesterday. Kyle, thank you.
See you, Joe.
All right. Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Dolphins podcast, joining us this morning. Yeah, I was a little foggy today. I ain't going to lie to you this morning. Would have been nice, and I appreciate that, man. Hey, right now I want to talk to you about ED and Low T. Yeah, man, I hate talking to all the old guys out there, but hell, you don't have to be old. No, man, it was funny. I was talking to those guys at Landing Men's Clinic last week, and I go, I got to ask you. I know it's none of my business. I don't want any names, but because there are a bunch of guys go to Atlantic Men's Clinic on Friday when I was in there. It was packed. And they're in every room. There are a few people waiting. It was great. It was great to see, man. Guys are doing something about low T and ED. And they go, no, this starts happening to guys in their early 40s and 50s and 60s where low T drops and you start to notice you're tired all the time. You're moody. You don't sleep well. You become that grumpy old guy, and you're going, how the hell can this happen? Well, it's just stress, honey. No, 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 it's more than that. Low T is not just stress. No, no, no. Whatever's going on in your life, it's a lot more than that. And usually with low T, it's right there with ED, man. They're like neighbors, and they won't go away from each other. And when that happens and your sex drive is gone, no man at any age wants to lose that. That is special. That good-looking wife of mine, man, I want to keep that going. Hey, I want you to do the same thing. And if you're going through this right now, you don't have to be open like I am about it. And the fact that I've been going to Atlantic Men's Clinic for 6 months now, and I've had great results. But I do know this. If you're interested in getting rid of low T and ED, Atlantic Men's Clinic is going to be perfect for you. It's a great gift to yourself. It's a great gift to everybody around you is going to notice a difference going, hey, I like this new dad. I like this new friend. A lot of things will happen, man, that are good. They'll do your lab work and have your results within 30 minutes. A Florida licensed medical provider will review your results with you and discuss your options, and we'll make some decisions together with you and the medical team. They're good. Your initial visit includes medical consultation, a T, and a PSA test. And if you sign up for testosterone treatment the day of your appointment, your visit is free. I'm telling you right now, it's a great experience. 6 locations throughout South Florida. Matter of fact, call and set up that first appointment. You can just walk out if you're not happy with what you hear, but you get great results. They got 6 locations throughout South Florida. I go to the plantation one every Friday. It's the first thing I do when I get out of here. Go see my friends over at Atlantic Men's Clinic. Matter of fact, go to AtlanticMen'sClinic.com. Set up that first appointment or call 877-455-7300. That's 7300. And let those folks get started with you to start feeling good again.